Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This episode of the House of Mystery is brought to you by Legacy Food Storage. The best way to protect your family is by being prepared. LegacyFoodStorage.com.
This just in, you were looking at obviously a very disturbing live shot there. That is the World Trade Center, and we have unconfirmed reports this morning that a plane has crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center.
What are you doing that requires you to cover up everything?
What purpose did this ritual serve? Only the Illuminati really know.
Manchurian candidates. Could such things actually be possible?
A short flight from Las Vegas, deep in the Nevada desert, lies Area 51, the CIA's secret.
My voices beamed into the brains like it was whispering in my ear.
Here's a bulletin from CBS News. President Kennedy has been the victim of an assassin's bullet in Dallas, Texas. It is not known as yet whether the president survived the attack against him.
Going down the rabbit hole.
You have now entered into the House of Mystery, the best in true crime, conspiracy, and alternative history, with Al Warren and KCAA, the stations that leave no listener behind. Broadcasting on 1050 AM, 102.3 FM, and 106.5 FM. The trifecta of talk radio for Southern California.
Welcome back to the House of Mystery on KKNW 1150 AM Seattle and KCAA 106.5 FM Los Angeles. I'm your host, Al Warren, and it's another critical thinking day. And so we have Dr. Joe Usinski from the University of Miami here. How are you doing, Joe?
Very good. Great to be with you every Wednesday, Al. It's a particularly exciting day to be talking about conspiracy theories and rational thinking, or lack thereof. because right now, there is a book about the QAnon conspiracy theory, anonymously written, that has shot up the Amazon bestsellers list. And I just want to start by reading what NBC has reported about this. A book that pushes the conspiracy theory QAnon climbed within the top 75 of all books sold on Amazon in recent days, pushed by Amazon's algorithm. And the book is called QAnon, An Invitation to the Great Awakening. It has no stated author, and as of the other day, it was ranked as high as 56 of all books in the world sold on Amazon. So we have a very good guest today who was quoted in this NBC article, and I'll just give you one quote from him. As conspiracy theory researcher Mike Rothschild told NBC News that An Invitation to the Great Awakening, which is the book, is a new way for those pushing the QAnon conspiracy theory to make cash, since recent changes to YouTube's algorithm have made it harder for the conspiracy theorists to find followers and make cash there. And what Rothschild said is they are exploiting the flaws in Amazon's algorithms. They know that Q has a small but devoted fan base, and is willing to spend money. So that's where we are right now. So we have this book of completely made up conspiracy stuff written by anonymous authors that is listed as an Amazon bestseller and is being promoted by their algorithms.
Well, that it fills the void that they feel probably from the YouTube experience, because, you know, they're cutting so many of the right to monetize their videos now.
Yeah, and the interesting thing, a lot of these books that are self-published and don't have, like, a named author, they'll sell it for, like, $1 or $2. But this one I saw, it was selling for $17.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so that's not anything to scoff at. So
No, my books are $8 to $12 usually, paperback. So I better add a few features to my latest books to help them sell.
All of us have to do that.
Yeah. Okay. And so now sitting with us is our guest. It's Mike Rothschilds. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Oh, nice to be here.
Hey, so Mike, you're not part of the Rothschilds, are you?
I am not part of the Rothschild family. I get that accusation on Twitter quite a bit. And when I did used to respond to it, I would always say that if I were really a member of the family that supposedly controlled $500 trillion of wealth, would I really be arguing with anonymous people on Twitter? And they usually don't write back after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. You know, you'd be at some golf course in Florida.
I'd be living on my yacht off San Tropez, and I wouldn't know what any of this was.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm part of the satanic cabal that's behind all of the big deep state. And of course, Joe here is paid for by the CIA.
Yes.
Sure. So, you know, nice to get all of us together again. And I mean, the last time it got a little ugly. The human that we were hunting for sport almost got away, but yeah. You know, we took care of it.
So now you write quite a bit on the daily.com, don't you? Is that your site or something?
That's one of the sites that I regularly contribute to. I also write on my own blog. I'm working on my own project. I've got a book that I just finished up, working on some other things. So I'm sort of here, there, and everywhere.
So QAnon, let's talk about that. What are the yes. basic things people should know? I know in the West Coast, I'm surprised how many people ask me, what's that? So it's not.
Yeah,
it's
actually
popular.
It's interesting. I live in Pasadena, so just north of Los Angeles, and there's no footprint for it at all here. I've never seen any merchandise for it, but you know, in some other parts of the country, it's actually very popular. And so the basics of QAnon are that it's a conspiracy theory that posits that an anonymous Trump administration insider is feeding coded messages containing information about an upcoming purge of the deep state to a small group of patriots on the message board 8chan. And that by using rhetorical questions and out of context pictures and sort of riddles and abbreviations and little codes, that this person who is connected to military intelligence is letting people know what's about to happen without doing it in a way that's so obvious that they'll get shut down by the deep state. There's a whole bunch of other rabbit holes that you can go down, but that's the basic crux of QAnon, is that there is an anonymous insider passing coded information about an upcoming deep state purge.
Wow. You know, for me, I just get it telepathically, so I don't need to.
Sure. Yeah, we do it by carrier pigeon. I mean, no electronic footprint at all. It's safe.
So one way to describe QAnon, it's been called like a meta conspiracy theory, where it sort of ties together a lot of disparate conspiracy theory contentions. Like, what are some of those that are all wrapped up in this?
Yeah, I like to call QAnon a conspiracy theory of everything. It wraps up you know, certainly current politics, but there's also a sort of satanic panic element to it. You have this group of deep staters who are called pedophiles and accused of torturing children to obtain their adrenaline. And then you've also got weird numerology things, and you've got historical things. It's a conspiracy theory that sort of posits that there's this never-ending battle between good and evil going on. So anything that happens anywhere is pulled into it. So if you get a really bad earthquake, if you get a train crash, if you get an outbreak of Ebola, all of that is sort of seen as another front in this endless battle. So it pulls everything in.
So, like, what are some of the wackier things that are tied into this? So I've heard that, you know, some of the Q believers think that JFK Jr. actually faked his death and is still alive, and he's coming back and working for Donald Trump. I've heard that the satanic pedophiles are trying to collect children's blood and then eat it for some magical power.
Right. Those are two of the wackier ones. The JFK Jr. thing is really sort of the most, I think that's the most bizarre one, because it posits that this extremely powerful and wealthy person would just spend 20 years hiding for no particular reason and then reemerge at these rallies and sort of hope to not get caught, but then hope also to be seen. I mean, it doesn't make any logical sense, but it demands an enormous amount of faith. And I think it's one of the signs that QAnon is also sort of subtly turning into almost a religion. And it's also very cult-like. So it's this prosperity scam, but it's also got this religious connotation. It's got this cult connotation, this political connotation, and this like Tom Clancy-esque military intrigue aspect to it. I mean, it's all very bizarre when you put it all together, and all of its component parts might make a tiny little bit of sense on their own, but when you put it all together, it's just sort of a tornado of crazy.
So one thing that I like in this too is like Oliver Stone's JFK, because if you go back and watch that movie, which came out in the early 90s, it says that there was this deep state cabal, and some of them were pedophiles, and everyone was in on the assassination of JFK. Right. And it's truly a battle between good and evil, and it's ongoing. Right. And this is sort of the same thing. It's just you know, Q seems to be chasing a different audience, is that they're really going after Trump supporters or people who are really alienated from the system.
Yeah, and what's interesting about the QAnon, that core group of QAnon acolytes, is that you have a lot of baby boomers. It's not just sort of disaffected kids holed up in their rooms, you know, shielding themselves from mommy and daddy yelling at each other. You've got a lot of people who are in their 60s, and maybe their kids have moved out, maybe they're divorced, maybe they had to retire early or they lost a job, and they're realizing that they don't have a lot of tangible real-world connections. They don't have that community around them, because that's such a big problem in the United States right now, is the sort of the idea of community is really disappearing. So you have a lot of older people who have no real flesh and blood connections. And they go online. And they go online and they find other people who are going through the same thing that they're going through, who have maybe had some real financial hits in the last 10 years, and they're seeing how well the Dow is doing and how well the economy is doing, but they're not seeing any of it. So they're disaffected, they're isolated, they've probably lost some money, and they're angry and they're lonely. And they find QAnon because it ties everything together. It gives them something to be angry at. It gives them something to work toward, and it gives them a community of people who believe the same thing that they do.
So is it, in that case, you know, you mentioned, is it a religion? Is it a cult? Do you think it's a cult? Is it taking on that sort of devotion, and are they becoming sort of more organized in their activities?
I think there are aspects of it that are very cultish. I think there is a fear of outsiders. I think there is a devotion to the leader. What the leader wants in this case is a little bit different than you get with a lot of cults, because a lot of cults, it's just about, you know, hoovering up money and access to women and power. And Hugh is not doing that on the surface, but there is a devotional level and a scorn of believers who are maybe a little bit on the fence. You get that a lot on the Q social media, where anybody who expresses any doubt in the plan is called a shill. They're attacked with racist and anti-Semitic slurs. They're really sort of isolated and mocked. I think exactly like you'd see in a cult. So I think I hesitate to simply call it a cult, but it's very cult-like. Which so, maybe that just means it's cult.
Yeah, so in what way, like, how would you categorize the structure of the group? So you have these anonymous people or this person who calls him or herself or themselves Q, and right. I guess they post on 8chan?
On 8chan, yeah.
On 8chan.
It and was then you 4chan, and now it's 8chan.
Okay, and then you have people there who interact with the Q poster. And then I guess they then share these messages out through different forms on either YouTube or Twitter or different web pages. And
right.
And they sort of...
Yeah, there's...
And is it the case that you have different people following, like, almost disciples?
Yes. There's Q thought leaders. There are really Q disciples. There's Q at the very top. And then Q will occasionally interact with other anonymous people on 8chan by answering questions. And then sort of right below Q, I mean, I guess it's Jesus and then the four, disciples, there's a group of QAnon sort of interpreters, or they call themselves bakers, who bake the crumbs that Q leaves behind. And these are people, if you spend any time in QAnon world, you start to see some familiar names. You'll see somebody who calls himself Praying Medic. You call somebody who calls himself Serial Brain 2. Another guy who calls himself Joe M. There's maybe 8 to 10 of these really prominent people who just post endless Twitter threads and long YouTube videos trying to decipher what the drops mean. And those people have very big followings. Some of the big QAnon YouTube channels have, 250,000 subscribers. Who knows how many are real, but that number alone does demand respect.
Wow.
And then below that, you get just a huge horde of people, mostly on Twitter, but then on some other social media sites too, who respond to the questions, who share things. And then if QAnon puts a tweet in one of the drops, if you go to that tweet, you'll see hundreds and hundreds or thousands even of replies from QAnon believers who say that Q sent them to that tweet. So you have almost a very codified hierarchy. That's almost like a pyramid, Q at the very top and the next layer are the really prominent acolytes. And then below that is just this sort of faceless mass of anons who really hang on every word.
Now, it's sort of interesting, this group, because it's not just that they have these views, but they sort of see themselves, not as a cult, but they see themselves as a team, that they're together working for something to bring about this, I guess what they call the Great Awakening. Like, what is this Great Awakening that they're looking for?
The Great Awakening at its heart is this moment where the battle between good and evil will culminate in President Trump, who was, of course, anointed by God and by the military leaders at the heart of Q. President Trump will give this order to unleash this massive wave of sealed indictment. You'll see that term a lot with Q, that there's 60,000, 70,000, 80,000 sealed indictments, and that all these indictments are going to be unsealed, and that all of these deep state traitors and pedophiles are going to be snapped up, tried in field tribunals, and either sent to Guantanamo Bay or executed. And that the sort of happy and evil-free world that we live in after that will have been awakened by the Great Awakening. So it's this sort of culmination in this very apocalyptic event.
So is there two – it almost seems like there's two things going on here psychologically with the adherents. And is one on the one hand, they have a really dark view of the world where, you know, the government is run by globalist Satanists who drink the blood of children for magic powers. But on the other hand, it seems like some of these people are very hopeful because they see a positive outcome to all this, and that evil is going to be thwarted, and we'll have some great awakening where we have, you know, almost a nirvana on Earth. I mean, to me, that seems sort of, you don't see that normally, where you have those two things tied together so intimately.
Yeah, it's, it basically says that evil is reigning right now and everything's awful. But if the Great Awakening is allowed to happen, then everything will be great afterwards. I mean, it's very much like a second coming in a lot of ways. You know, there's a very sort of millennialist end of the world aspect to it.
And okay, so it's dark. And why do you think baby boomers in particular? I mean, anyone can fall victim to conspiracy theories, but I mean,
sure.
We need to do more polling on this to really find out who's believing it and who isn't. But you know, oftentimes we think it's young people or whatnot, but it seems like there's a lot of evidence that old people, particularly on Facebook, tend to fall victim to conspiracy theories and fake news, and perhaps because they didn't grow up with it and they're not quite attuned to the information market. Are you finding that here, that you're finding just a lot of middle-aged people or perhaps senior citizens who are getting into this and think it's all true?
Yeah, you really do. For the QAnon believers on Twitter who use their real information, it's quite shocking how many are, you know, retired after 30 years, you know, grandmother of five, you know, life, you know, Republican for 50 years, stuff like that. And there's some studies, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but there are studies that the age cohort most likely to fall for fake news and hoaxes on Facebook is that baby boomer age range. So they're not digital natives. They are, I don't want to call a whole swath of people naive, but they're not as attuned to critical thinking on the internet as a lot of younger people are.
Because they didn't grow up with it.
Right. They didn't grow up with it. And they are generally more rooted in a time where that information presented to you was generally trustworthy and accurate.
So let me present you with a real situation. So I received an email from a dad, and he said that his son had become a QAnon follower and had a YouTube channel, and he was concerned about the son because the son had gone to college, graduated, got a really good job, and then quit the job, quit the career, with the reason being that he was going to be needed, because when the Great Awakening happened, he was going to have to be there to help people cope and understand what was going on. And the dad wanted to know, you know, what should he be doing with the son? You know, was there some sort of fix for this? And I'm not that kind of doctor. So
sure.
I didn't know what to tell him. But I mean, in your experience, you know, following this, what would you say to a family that's experiencing that?
Ooh, that's hard, because, you know, I'm sure you know that there's no acolyte like a recent convert.
Mm.
So they are probably, my guess, and obviously I don't know, but my guess is that they were radicalized on YouTube, because that's become a huge problem. And whatever they're getting from QAnon is filling some kind of need in their life. So I guess, you know, honestly, I would take them to get professional help. I mean, I would make it as easy as possible for them to go to some kind of family therapy, for that person individually to see a psychotherapist, get to the sort of mental issues that are working here. Don't try to go toe to toe with them debunking the conspiracy. It's never going to work. They're just going to dig in harder. Let them know that you love them, that they are important to you, and that they and that you recognize that this conspiracy theory is important to them, but that person is more important, that their child is more important to them, and so they're not going to just abandon them. They want to work through this together. And you know, I think the thing not to do is get into the weeds about it, because you'll never win that way. A conspiracy theorist always has something else they can pull out of their hat. You know, that's just not the way to get people out of this.
Yeah, I guess it's tough to talk people out of their beliefs. I mean, I've you know, for the time that I've been studying conspiracy theories for about a decade, you know, there's all in the media, you have this idea sometimes that the people are, you know, mentally ill in some way.
Right.
And that's not really the case, because, you know, most people believe in one conspiracy theory or another at one time or another. And it's, you know, not a particularly bad thing. You have majorities believing in JFK conspiracy theories,
sure.
But they're not all mentally ill.
No.
But I think when you get to some of these more extreme beliefs that are sort of all in. It almost seems as if, you know, perhaps there's really strong delusional thinking involved, or something like that, or maybe something else going on in their life, you know, and it could be different for each person.
Sure.
But I don't know how you approach them and get them into therapy.
Well, yeah, that's a tall order, but I think that would probably be the way to go, is try to find the underlying cause of why they're believing in this particular thing, rather than going after the thing that they're believing in. But yeah, I think that. Sorry, go ahead.
Have you, you know, you've been researching this for a while, and you're quite prominent on Twitter, following the QAnon followers. Do you get attacked?
Oh, relentlessly, all the time.
And what does some of that look like?
Well, it's probably nowhere near as bad as the average woman in the media gets on a daily basis. So I just, you know, I want to keep a little perspective here, but I get a lot of attacks on my last name, a lot of attacks on me being Jewish. A lot of stuff about, you know, your family and human sacrifice.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And controlling the world and blah, 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 blah. You know, I get a lot of just garbage memes spammed at me. I got somebody just sent me a bunch of really graphic abortion pictures. That person I managed to get banned from Twitter. So that, you know, support actually helped me in that case. I've gotten a few Twitter death threats. You know, I've never gotten anybody showing up at my door. I've never gotten some like breathy phone call in the middle of the night. So it's been confined to the space where I take them on. But I'm also very careful. Like I don't really talk about my personal life on Twitter. You know, I don't do anything Q related on Facebook. So I try to keep everything as compartmentalized as I can. But yeah, I get a lot of harassment, a lot of threats, and most of it I just mute or block. You know, I don't argue with people. It's just not a good use of my time.
Yeah, last August, after some Q supporters went to a Donald Trump rally in Florida wearing their Q regalia, it sort of blew up in the news, and I think I was interviewed, you know, I couldn't even keep track, maybe between 50 and 100 times in 1 month, just about this Q stuff. And some of the Q followers started to catch on, and they thought, obviously, I was part of it because I was being featured in the mainstream media quite a bit.
Sure.
But some of them went through all my Twitter pictures and created a little collage to make the case that I was a Satanist.
Right.
And it had a picture of me wearing Red Sox. And Red Sox is the sign that you're a pedivore. You eat children.
Right. Yes. Magic powers. Yes. Because if you eat children, you want people to figure it out.
Yeah. And yeah, so they had a picture of that, and they had some other pictures like I had taken in like England and whatnot, and they put it together, and I looked at it and I said, wow, I guess it is sort of, I guess if I saw this, you know, it had some skulls, it had Red Sox, it had, you know, and I was like, oh, my God, maybe I am some sort of, you know, satanic cult leader.
Right. Yeah, they did the same to me when my second child was born. We got some photos taken in the backyard of my mother-in-law. And one of them I was using because they're really good pictures. And one I was using as my profile picture for a while. And there's some just a little bit of weird glare on in the back of one of the pictures. And a bunch of Q people were like, that's an ambulance or a police sirens. He was about to be taken away for eating children. I'm like, it's just some glare on a window, man. Not everything is a thing.
And have you been, so have you been accused of being a pedivore? So just to explain what pedivore is, that's, you're not molesting the children. You're actually cooking them. And I think you cook them up in gold foil, then you eat the children, and it gives you magic powers that keep you young.
I guess, you know, that's the beauty of making things up, is that they can be anything you want them to be. I'm called a pedophile and pedivore and just, you know, all that stuff. And it just, I try to consider the source with most of this. I mean, a lot of these people are clearly damaged and are clearly having some real problems. And that's absolutely not to excuse their behavior, because their behavior is not excusable, but I look at their lives and I think, just how little do you have to look forward to that this is how you spend your time? And I try not to take it personally. I'm sure you're the same way. I just try to consider where it's coming from, and that it's kind of the cost of poking these hornet's nests is that the hornets will go after you.
Well, I don't know. That's my favorite type of pizza, but I don't know. Now, you talk on the Daily Dot about North Korea and a conspiracy around the meeting between Trump and Kim Jong-un.
Yes. That whole thing was right around the time that Trump went on the first summit. Is August, I guess, is Q posted some really cryptic thing about Thank You, Kim, deal made. And a lot of the Q acolytes are like, oh, my God, they've made a secret deal, and all this whole summit is just for show, and there's a plan, and North Korea has been freed from its control by the CIA, and now it can be free to be, you know, a first world country and join us in paradise. And it's like, yeah, in the meantime, Kim Jong-un is still executing his family members and, you know, threatening fire and fury on the world. But then as part of that, there was a conspiracy theory that there was an attempted assassination on Trump from a missile fired by a submarine, which used a picture that was taken by a webcam looking out over Puget Sound that was clearly a time-lapse shot of a searchlight from a helicopter, and said that this was a missile fired by a submarine at Donald Trump, and then it was shot down by special F-16s. I mean, it's just pure Tom Clancy stuff. But then they still talk about this, you know, the deep state tried to take him out via submarine once, and then they find some picture of a submarine and pretend that that's the one that fired at him. I mean, it just gets so it gets so detailed in its gibberish. And none of the QAnon believers go back and say, well, there's actually no reason at all why Trump and Kim would keep a deal secret. You'd think that this is actually something they would sort of shout to the high heavens. And then there's no evidence that there was any missile fired, and no real plausible way to assassinate somebody who's thousands of miles away with a submarine-fired missile. That doesn't even work. And then there's no reason why there would be a second summit. If there's already a deal and the deep state had already tried to shoot down Trump once on his way to the first summit, which was fake because there was a deal, why have a second summit and put yourself at risk of being assassinated again? None of it, when you try to connect it together, it falls apart so quickly that you have to wonder how many of the Q people actually understand that this doesn't make any sense and is not plausible at all, and are just kind of going for the ride because it's interesting. You know, it really, because if you try to break it down factually, it just collapses immediately.
Yeah, it's strange people don't recognize that. But I get a feeling that there's a real religious element to this.
Yeah, there is. There's a real religious element. There's also a very participatory element to it. QAnon always encourages followers to make internet memes and spread them around and try to wake people up. So it allows believers to feel like they're part of the fight, which is powerful. You know, that's a powerful notion to make people think that they are fighting evil. You know, everybody wants to fight evil. And if you can do it in the comfort of your own home by, you know, making frog memes and posting them on Facebook, well, hey, you know, that's safer for you.
Does a lot of this come back to anti-Semitism? Because I one theory about conspiracy theories is that eventually if you follow these things down to the bottom, no matter how wacky they are, eventually you trope, like with David Icke's reptilian elite theory, where he argues that, yeah, you know, the world's leaders are all really shape-shifting lizard people.
Right, who drink blood, just like the old Jewish stereotype.
Yeah, you dig down into that, and eventually you find some form of anti-Semitism. Is that here in QAnon, or is it sort of, is this appealing to people on the right who are evangelical and they like the Jews because you're all going to go to heaven together and in the end, and they're the God's chosen people? Is that, you know, what kind of right wing people are we dealing with?
You're dealing with the anti-Semites, and the tell for that is the obsession with George Soros.
Okay.
Q is, as far as I know, I haven't memorized all the Q drops, believe it or not, has never directly attacked Jews, but he's gone after Soros quite a bit and the globalists. And anytime you see globalists, it means Jews. Anytime you see foreign bankers, it means Jews. They're code words, but they're code words that the people who need, who they're meant for, will understand them. What you, where you'll find the anti-Semitism really is QAnon social media. It wasn't as much on the big QAnon Reddit thread, but that got banned in September, I think, September or October. You'll see it all over some of the other social media sites like Vote and Gab, just wall-to-wall anti-Semitism.
So does this create a weird juxtaposition? Because on the one hand, you have this, you know, a very strong support for Israel in the Republican Party. A lot of evangelicals have very strong support for Israel and for the Jewish people, but at the same time, there's this sort of weird veiled anti-Semitism that runs through some of the conspiracy thinking.
Yeah, there's a lot of blame of Jews. I mean, basically, you know, Jewish media, Jewish money, Jewish entertainment, it's all sort of seen as tentacles of this big Jewish octopus. And I think with a lot of evangelicals, the anti-Semitism is a little more veiled. I think there's almost like a pity for Jews. I mean, you'll get some comments. Like, I remember Ann Coulter talking about how, you know, the Jews just needed to be perfected. And it's a little more sideways and a little more subtle. But the reason that evangelical Christians care about Israel is because they think that Israel is where the end of the world is going to start. So it needs to be in Christian hands. I mean, it has nothing to do with support for the Jewish people. It's about, we need a place to start our apocalypse. And with the Q believers, it's just Jews control everything. So there's no subtlety to it at all.
So what can we do about this? So there's been, you know, an interesting scenario besides the QAnon book, which is shooting up the Amazon charts. Mm. It was discovered, I think 2 weeks ago, that one of the pastry chefs who works at one of the Trump hotels, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's at Mar-a-Lago.
It is Mar-a-Lago,
Florida. Is a Q believer, and on her Twitter account, I guess she has pictures of pastries she made, you know, in the shape of Qs and whatnot. And this became sort of a big deal on social media, and there was some debate about how should we handle this. Is this somebody that we should expose? Is it important that she works for Trump? Does that make it news? And I guess more generally, what should be done about people who advocate this conspiracy theory, if anything?
In the specific case of the pastry chef, and I was one of the people who wrote about it, I think that the thing that really worried me about this is that this is somebody who works at what the president himself has called the Winter White House. You know, he really thinks of Mar-a-Lago as this sort of secondary base of operations. And because the Trump administration has seen the erasing of the line between business and politics, everything is totally mingled. So this isn't just somebody who works at a business that the president owns. This is an employee of the president who doesn't work at the White House. So we don't really know anything about this person. We don't know, you know, psychologically how stable she is, what her past is. And it wouldn't matter, except she's working at a place where foreign dignitaries and high-level donors are routinely getting access to the president and to the president's family. And she posted some picture of a cake that she made that had a little Q symbol on it that later Donald Trump Jr. was holding. And you just don't know who she's talking to and what she's saying and kind of whose ear she's getting into. And I think, you know, ordinarily I don't think we want to out people who believe this because I don't think it's any of our business. But she outed herself. Her posts were public. And she used QAnon hashtags. She wanted this to be seen, and it was seen. And I think that if you want to be an out and proud QAnon believer, I don't think you should be in the same room as the president of the United States, because QAnon is not just a harmless little conspiracy theory. It's a fascist fantasy that has already inspired crimes. I think that there's a real safety element there to it.
I guess on the issue with the president, I guess it doesn't bother me that she's in the room with the president, unless she's dangerous, in which case she should be vetted by the Secret Service. But, I mean, right. I see Trump as a hardcore conspiracy theorist to begin with. Whether he believes what he says or not, I have no idea. I think he just tries to manipulate people with his ideas. But, I mean, he's pushed ideas like Ted Cruz's dad killed JFK. So he's sort of already pushing this crazy conspiracy worldview. I don't think Trump's ideas can get any worse on the conspiracy theory scale.
I think that the danger is very particular here. If Trump mentioned QAnon positively, he's never mentioned it. He's never made a reference to it. All the supposed little references he's made that Q believers think are just in their heads, but he's never spoken of it. But if he did, I think it would give the movement a real jolt. And I think it would almost validate it in some way. And so I think it's a very particular case with this particular president and this particular conspiracy theory that makes anyone around it espousing it, anyone around him espousing belief for QAnon, makes it that much more dangerous. I think in general, you know, if you believe it, whatever, that's fine, as long as you don't hurt anybody. But I think this particular case is a little bit different.
Yeah, I get worried when the idea is, okay, we're going to out people who have this sort of idea and we're going to, you know, because it's one thing where somebody has a Twitter account where they have, you know, 1,000 followers or a couple hundred followers. It's another thing when you put it into the mainstream media and get thousands and thousands and thousands of people looking at it. I mean, is the goal of exposing, you know, perhaps this pastry chef and maybe other people like her, is it to get them fired? Is it to get to shine a spotlight on it? Is it to get them to change their mind or just to warn the people around them? Because I guess what I'm trying to get at here, is there, I guess if we're looking at solutions for QAnon, how can we have people be more skeptical of stuff they find online? How can people have better beliefs? You know, is the idea to expose everyone with a wrong belief? To humiliate them, or is it to educate in some other way? And what are the right kinds of hands that we use to do that? Are they gentle hands? Are we forceful? Are we chastising people?
Yeah, I think these are all big questions, and they're questions that we deal with constantly because of the pervasiveness of internet conspiracies. I think generally the idea of public shaming probably doesn't work as a way of sort of making people leave beliefs behind. I think just in this particular case, this pastry chef, the context is what made it newsworthy. I think even if she worked at another Trump property, I don't think it would matter. You know, if she worked at the Trump Tower in Chicago, I don't think it doesn't matter. It's not news. And then it is a vindictive attack on people's beliefs. But I think this particular case makes it newsworthy because of where it is and who's involved. But I think in general, that kind of exposing people and going after them, I think it only will make people dig in deeper.
Because I think in some ways, yeah, I mean, if you go after a pastry chef and let's say the pastry chef gets fired or something, I mean, what does that do for her? I mean, it potentially makes her much worse off. And
right.
You know, and if we did that as a general policy, that'd be particularly dangerous. And I don't think we want to be in a world where we to individual people.
No, I don't think so either. And I think, exposing random Q believers, I don't think that's a good use of anybody's time. It's not helpful. But I think, I know the story's somewhat calmed down, and I'm not sure what ended up happening with her, but I don't think she should be fired. I don't think that's right, and I don't want to live in a country where we just start firing people for religious beliefs, because that ends really badly. Yeah. But I think that there is, I think people need to know that this is not just some kooky internet thing, and that there is danger associated with it, and it can be a physical danger. I mean, we've seen crimes committed by QAnon believers. And I think it's also, it points to this weird mixing of business and politics that is unique to the Trump universe. You know, I don't even know. Were Mar-a-Lago employees vetted by the Secret Service after Trump won? I mean, does anybody know that? You know, we don't really know who these people are, and we don't know who's getting access to the president. And I think that's almost the bigger issue, is this merging of business and politics that's become so common with Mar-a-Lago and with the Trump Hotel in D.C., where you have, you know, governments and foreign dignitaries and big companies spending huge amounts of money at the Trump Hotel. We don't know where that money is going. We don't know what it's buying them. There's no transparency. We don't, and for Trump organization employees, we don't know who these people are. We don't know what they've done. The standards that they need to live up to, I think, are much higher being around the president than they are just working for Donald Trump, businessman. You know, he can hire whoever he wants to, but if you're working now for the president, there needs to be a standard, and we need to know that this person is not dangerous.
I get concerned too, and I'll go back to that father who contacted me some time ago about a son who'd become a Q acolyte. And, you know, there's going to be a social cost for that person. I mean, their views are all over YouTube. They're making videos, trying to build a channel. And it's like, how are they going to get a job at some point? You know, who's, you know, are they going to have trouble getting hired? You know, you know, who's ever in HR looks at, you know, their social media posts and says, oh gosh.
Yeah. If I'm looking to hire somebody and I look at their YouTube channel and they're talking about Hillary Clinton eating babies, I'm going, no, thank you. You know, that's not something I want any part of.
Do we need to worry about this group turning into something like a cult, like Waco or something?
I think we do. I think that the biggest reason that I'm spending a lot of time writing about QAnon is not to debunk it, because I think it kind of debunks itself, but I want it out there, and I want a record that somebody was saying that this is dangerous. Because I think that you can only tell people for so long that there's a satanic cabal in charge of entertainment, politics, and government before someone decides to do something about it. And one of the big problems that Q has is he makes a lot of predictions that don't come true, and a lot of promises that something big is about to happen and then it never happens. And there's Hillary Clinton still free and still eating babies. Someone's going to decide that enough is enough, and that they're not going to wait for Q, and they're going to take action. And that's really what scares me. I really, when the pipe bombing was going on, the MAGA bomber, I really thought that that was a Q person, because I went through the people who'd received pipe bombs and matched them up. With how many times Q had mentioned them, and every single one had gotten multiple mentions by QAnon. And I'm thinking, this person's just going down the line. And it turns out that they had their own really bizarre subculture that they belonged to. And the guy was a fake Native American and really just totally off his rocker. And I don't think it ever mentioned Q. But I think that we're coming to the point where somebody is going to try to start the Great Awakening themselves. And I think it has to be taken seriously. I think it has to be watched. It's not just about ridicule. It's not just about mocking. It is forecasting. And it's telling people, pay attention to this. This is important. This could get really bad.
Mm. Wow. Well, it gives us something to think about.
On that happy note.
we're coming to a close. So Mike, give us some of your contact information or places where people can read or find you.
Sure. I'm on Twitter at RothschildMD. That's RothschildMD. I'm not a doctor. Those are just my initials. And then you can read me online. I write a lot for the Daily Dot. And you can also go to my website, which is themikerothschild.com.
Well, Michael, thank you very much.
Absolutely.
We feel much better informed now, and we'll keep an eye out for any sort of thing going on with QAnon.
Okay. Okay, thanks a lot. It was great to do this.
All right, thank you.
Okay, sure.
Prepared? Legacy Food Storage. The best way to protect your family is by being prepared. Go now to legacyfoodstorage.com. Use coupon code HOM15 now for 15% off. Quick, go!
To find out more about our show, guests, or listen to a previous show, visit our website at www.somethingweirdmedia.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.